Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A wild card series, the first of its kind. And the Yankees will participate tonight against the Indians. Ricky Ricardo's done a great job all year calling the Yankee games in Espanol, filling in for John Sterling as well. And he's got the privilege of watching the pathetic Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday.
You got to get into that too, Ricky.
What's up, Ricky?
Now, let me tell you, I'm still not over Doug Peterson not taking the chance to kick the ball. It would have been another great Ricardo broadcast moment, number one. Number two, they would have won the game, in that order, by the way. It would have been a 64-yard field goal with the wind at his back for Jake Elliott, plus the over-under on that game, Evan, because I use your app, was 46.5.
Yes.
Wow. Is that right?
Yes.
46.5.
And it goes to overtime. You're like, I got it.
They buried me on a 46.
That is crazy.
How great is that?
That is bad. You know, I got to ask you, Rick, what's going on with Wentz? I mean, before we get to the Yankees, I mean, let's be honest. He's lucky, and I know they actually had the booing there last week in Philadelphia when he threw that big pick in the – I forget who they lost, the week two, the Ram game, when they lost to the Rams. But, I mean, what's the deal with this guy? I mean, is he he's been a little shaky. Is he the franchise quarterback the Eagles thought he was?
Yo, in the ears. Let's go back to the fact that when Nick Foles won that Super Bowl and was heralded in that city as king, as a statue
outside
the stadium to this day, they had a little mini cathedral in the locker room to the guy where they prayed to a statue of Nick Foles. Can you imagine the kind of pressure that Wentz must have felt from that moment on? Because if he doesn't win his own Super Bowl, anything else that he does in that city will be looked at as him coming up short. Now, last year he got them into the playoffs. He had to win the last four games after the embarrassing loss in Miami. He had to beat the Giants twice, which he just did. He squeaked by on that Monday night. It was an overtime game. Eli Manning's last game was down in Philadelphia. Remember that? He sneaked by, and now he gets into his shot to be, you know, Carson Wentz, the number two pick. Make everyone forget about Nick Foles. And what happens? He gets hit by Clowney halfway through the first quarter. He's knocked out of the game. The Eagles lose it. We're right back to where we started from as far as the pressure and the expectations on the guy.
Yeah.
That plus he's got, you know, three different quarterback coaches in his ear telling him, run, don't run. If you run, you might get hurt. You know, there's been a lot of voices. I say this. Let the guy play the way he played when he came out of college. Reckless. He's, you know, a gunslinger. He takes chances. But that's his game. That's the only way he wins. He's not a drop-back quarterback that sits there and throws the ball away if nobody's open. He's a mini Brett Favre. He takes chances. Mm-hmm. You've got to let him either sink or swim the way he came into the league and not try to change who he is as a player. And I think that scrambles his brain. You saw him dive into the end zone on Sunday for the tying touchdown from about 11 yards out, took a 4-yard nosedive into the corner of the end zone. That's the Carson Wentz that came into the league, that was the potential MVP of that Super Bowl season before he got hurt. That's the guy we need to see going forward. But these turnovers are killing him. He's got six interceptions in three games and fumbles lost. He's the number one turnover machine as far as quarterbacks in the NFL.
Indeed. Yeah. I'm sitting here. Joe's watching the Twins game. I'm watching the White Sox. The White Sox came in here in a worse slump than the Yankees, and they're up 3-0 in the fourth inning. Kind of the reminder of nothing matters starting tonight. Give me your feel for this team, because it was a weird year. They start off the first 22 games, they're the best team in baseball. Then they stink. Then they win 10 in a row. Then they stink again. What's your view on the Yankees as we enter the unknown of this AL wildcard series?
My gut tells me that they bounce back tonight, and I want to see, you know, a Bieber in a big situation, you know, be the pitcher that he was during the season. Cole is battle-tested. We know that. He's been in clutch post-season situations with the Astros for years. This is no stranger to Garrett Cole. This is a new experience for Shane Bieber. Okay,
Gary Cohen did that on the air recently, by the way.
And remember that they're playing with Sandy Alomar Jr. as their manager.
Yeah, right, yeah. Francona, yeah, right.
You know, Francona with health issues is not going to manage the ball club. So you've got a guy that's never managed in this type of an atmosphere before. You've got players on that team like Bieber, like Brad Hand, who have not experienced this type of postseason pressure. I think that's what I'm going to keep my eye on the Indians. As far as the Yankees is concerned, for me, the key guy in this series is Aroldis Chapman. Chapman in this ballpark. Let's remember Davis.
Yes.
Took him deep. He has had, you know, big-time moments, but he's had big-time blown saves in this ballpark. And those things seem to stick with Aroldis Chapman. He's going to have to be on his game in this series. There's no seven-inning series. These are all nine-inning playoff games. We have to see the best of Chapman. And when Gary Sanchez does get into a game, and I know his feelings have to be hurt that Higashioka is going to be Cole's catcher here, when Sanchez does get into the game, he's going to have a chip on his shoulder, do a little bit, a lot more, actually, not even a little, a lot more than he did during the season. And if he's behind the plate when Chapman's closing out a game and throwing 101, 102 miles an hour, even more important than his bat, Sanchez cannot let those pitches get by him in any way, shape, or form in a ninth-inning situation. Those are the things I'm keeping my eyes on.
All right, Gardner or Frazier tonight in the starting lineup against the right-hander?
I'd go Gardner. All right?
You would.
Gardner is battle-tested, veteran, knows how to deal with the pressure. Tonight, in this particular game against this pitcher, I would go Gardner. I'd probably go Frazier tomorrow and going forward. But tonight, I feel more secure with Gardner in there. And that's another guy. If he wants to be back next year, he better have a big postseason. If they put him in the lineup, you know, he's up for the big moment. He's not scared of the spotlight. I'd put Gardner in there tonight.
You know, obviously, you could look at anybody in this lineup, whether it's Giancarlo Stanton, who's looking to have his, you know, Yankee playoff moments, Aaron Judge. You could pick anybody and say, boy, this guy's the most important. It feels in a way like Gleyber has a lot of importance because of his defense. I mean, he did not have a good defensive year. He made 9 errors. It felt like it was more than that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And in a series like this, where games could be 1-0, 2-1, one error could cost you. What's your view on Gleyber's year defensively and where he goes from here? Because this was a step back for him as that full-time everyday shortstop this year defensively.
Evan, I hold my breath every time he plants and makes a throw to first base. I don't care if it's a routine play at shortstop or if he's in the hole or towards the bag and is trying to make a spectacular play. Until Voit catches that baseball with a foot on the bag, I'm holding my breath. Look, I hate to say it, but that's where I'm at with Gleyber Torres defensively. The bat has to wake up. You can forgive some of the defensive deficiencies with him when he's hitting the cover off the ball like he did in 2019, you know, a la against the Orioles having those, you know, outrageous numbers. If he's going to be that kind of a hitter, then maybe you cut him a little slack when he's not playing good defense. But if he's not going to hit like the Gleyber of last year, and you're going to be nervous every time there's a ground ball to shortstop, and, you know, and you're looking at that throw flying over Voit or going to the left of Voit, to the right of Voit, where Voit's got to stretch out as far as he can or maybe get that gloved hand, you know, into the base path where he could run into a runner and injure himself that way. There's so many different variables with these throws to first base from Gleyber Torres. And I tell you what, since about the second week of this 60-game season, every time he gets a ground ball and plants to make a throw, I'm holding my breath.
Talking to the great Ricky Ricardo as the Yankees get ready to open up their series with the Indians tonight in Cleveland. Which is the real Yankee team, Ricky? We've seen so many. I mean, we saw the big start, the bad middle, the 10-game winning streak. They didn't finish strong. Which team is this real Yankee team? Do we really know at this point yet?
Remember, this team went 9-1 against the Red Sox and played under 500 baseball against everyone else. So to answer your question, Joe, I don't know. Is it the team that dominated Boston, who was, it was a fifth-place Boston team, but they weren't that bad? Or is it that mishmash one day to the next, you don't know what kind of team you're going to get, that you saw against the rest of the American League East and the National League East opponents? I think this team goes as DJ LeMahieu goes. I'm not looking tonight. I'd be pleasantly surprised if Judge and Stanton, can hit a guy like Bieber. I think they're going to be strikeouts galore in this lineup tonight. So the guys that make contact, they're even more important in this game tonight. So LeMahieu's got to pick it up because you've got to expect some strikeouts from Judge and Stanton. LeMahieu's got to pick it up. Glaber's the type of guy that's got to pick it up. The ancillary guys, Brett Gardner, these guys have got to come through tonight because you must expect some strikeouts against this pitcher from your big-time power hitters. If they come through, it's a bonus, and that's, the Bronx Bombers that you can compare to the 27 Yankees. Let's be realistic. Bieber's a strikeout machine, and these are big strikeout hitters. So I'm looking tonight for the guys that make contact, LeMahieu, Voit, Torres, Gardner. Higashioka's in there for his defense and the comfort level he's got with Cole. They go back to the same high school. We know the whole story. But these guys that aren't big strikeout guys, those are the guys that have to come through big tonight because I can see an over-under of 4 or 5 strikeouts between Stanton and Judge.
Yeah. It's amazing. I mentioned this stat to Joe the other day that the Yankees struck out the second fewest times in the American League.
That is amazing.
And a big part of that was because Stanton and Judge missed as much time as they did. That's a reason why that number is as low as it is.
Plus, they didn't face Bieber. Right. A lot of the big strikeout guys were in the Central and in the West. They didn't face Bieber. They didn't face Giolito. Some of the big-time pitchers in the American League were not in the American League East, and really not in the aside from DeGrom, who they never saw, and that's a whole other point of contention. But even against their National League East interleague rivals, they really didn't see big strikeout guys as far as pitching is concerned. So, there's a lot of reasons why those numbers were down.
You know what I like about this Yankee bench moving forward? And I saw this on Friday night. I know it's a different world Friday night because the game didn't matter and we have those dopey extra inning rules, which I can't stand. But they got a lot of speed on their bench. If they start Brett Gardner tonight, fine, he's playing. But you've got Tyler Wade. You've got Mike Tauchman, a guy that you can insert late and steal a base. If Gardner's on the bench, and we'll see. I haven't seen the lineup yet on if Gardner's going to start or not. But if I had to guess, I think you're going to be right. I think Clint Frazier's going to be on the bench, but we'll see. But they've got a lot of weapons late in the game to take a Gio Urshela out, to take a Luke Voit out, and put a guy on the base pass that could steal a base for you.
Yeah, I would never take Urshela out because that defense at third base is gold glove caliber. And he runs well enough that I don't think you need a pinch runner for Urshela. But the other guys, I agree with you 100%. I think Urshela is so valuable with the glove at third base. And he is Francisco Lindor's best friend. These two guys are like brothers. They're family. During the lockdown, Urshela spent all of the time. He didn't want to go, couldn't go back to Colombia. So Urshela spent all the lockdown time with Francisco Lindor on Lindor's ranch in Orlando. Out there by near where I live at Disney World. They worked out on a daily basis. These two guys are as close as two guys can get because Urshela and Lindor came up together in the Indians organization. So you don't take Urshela out for anything in this series, especially with that glove.
I'm telling you right now.
And he's another one of your clutch hitters.
Oh, no, you're right. I'm telling you right now, Gio Urshela is going to have a monster series. I always believe, and you know this, Joe, because we've seen it happen to us a million times.
Well,
the guy that you discard, not trade away, you discard him as if, he stinks, let me get rid of him. They discarded this guy. He can't hit, he stinks, let's sell him to the Blue Jays for cash, whatever they got for him. This is set up to be such a revenge series for Gio Urshela against his former team.
Well, this is the ultimate chip on his shoulder. Player and playing across from his buddy, going back to the ballpark where he arrived into the major leagues at. The stage is set. You're absolutely right, Evan. The stage is set for Urshela to make some spectacular plays a la Greg Nettles in the late 70s in postseason for the Yankees. Those kind of defensive plays at third, which we saw all year long, and to use that right center and left center field gap for some big extra base hits in this series. Look out for Urshela. That's why I would never pinch run for him. I want that guy in there for every pitch of every game.
So who do you like winning this series, Ricky? How do you feel about this series?
Tonight's the key. I think, you know, the aces tonight, once you get beyond these two guys, Tanaka is again battle-tested in postseason. But whoever wins tonight's game, I think, wins the series. I think usually game two might be key. I think in this kind of format, two out of three, when you've got a Bieber and a Cole going and everything is downhill from here as far as pitching is concerned, but you're in their ballpark, there's no fans, we get it. You know, the atmosphere will be different. But I think tonight, if Cole comes up big, I think the Yankees could get out of here in two and not have to play Thursday's game. I'm going to say Yankees in two, and they go chill in California as of Thursday afternoon and wait for the next series on Monday.
We shall see. And we'll be talking to Ricky throughout the Yankee playoff run, so we look forward to that. Thank you, man. Enjoy it.
And by the way, can we get rid of Gase?
Oh, my God. Oh, my. Please, Ricky. From your lips to God's ears. Here, we need Denver to win big. We need Denver to win big Thursday, Rick.
I hate the Broncos, and I want them to win so bad. I want Gase, you know, but if he's got a house in Miami, let him go back to it. Please. By
Ricky, amen. You're the best.
Yeah,
Ricky,
you got it.
Ricky Ricardo on the Yankees. Avery Williamson coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.